Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Ellen Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. How are you? And today we are talking about the chakra levels of depression, as a listener calls for on-air readings. So we'll be doing that shortly, but today we're going to be starting with our topic. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number, and we invite our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook, on Blog Talk Radio, on Twitter. Those are accounts. Those accounts are under our Blog Talk Radio profile, and yeah, we appreciate it if you're there. And the number to call after the show, 562-567-818. In the neighborhood today. Probably should shut a window. The radio show is picking that up. Do you hear that, Neil?
Yeah.
Not a big deal. Okay. So, chakra levels of depression. Well, depression, the word depression, they're slowing of motion. So, I surmise that are depressed, there's going to be a lessening of activity rather than maybe an anxiety where there's an abundance of movement in that's counteractive to the normal motion.
Depression is not a concrete thing. It manifests to a concrete degree, but in essence, depression is not concrete. It's not visible. You can't see depression anywhere as depression itself. It's rather an existential condition of human behavior. So depression is rooted in the mind, and it's rooted in the emotions, the mind and the emotions, into the state of being, existence. So dealing with something that's really abstract, really doesn't exist. It only exists in thought and an emotion, which then manifests in terms of the behavior. Now, the same goes with chakras. Chakras are not concrete things. You're not going to be a fine one. You can't dissect the human body and see it. It's all regarding more in the manner of the soul related to the mind than the body related to the mind. Of course, the body ultimately gets the effects of this, so that's why we might say that there may not be a direct level of activity in a chakra in regards to depression. Depression is usually considered heavy. So there's a weight to depression. So when we say it's suppressing or repressing, what we're really saying is it's almost like dead weight, but it's active to the extent that the human is alive. But depression usually comes from a state of being overwhelmed. Anxiety oftentimes or a result of disappointment. Anxiety is a result of not getting the results. Depression usually occurs after you know the results. You can become depressed. So there's a contrast between the two systems of energy. When you become depressed, that gets into your chakra system. We've made it concrete because we've analyzed behavior and given it a label. When we're dealing with the sheer energy in an abstract form of depression, shock just, but when we get to the aspect of chakras and the chakras. We're talking about things that are the name. We're talking about the manifestations. We're talking about the very thing itself. This more reflects the state of the soul. The body can come in with it. The body comes in with heart delivery.
What does it, you're saying with depression?
Come in with depression. And
or anxiety.
Any not as a concrete thing.
Psychological
or even
problem,
chakra systems. You know, no doctor say this, I got the baby chakra systems. You know, don't dissect them. But no, you can't. There's nothing there. These are concepts that came up out of the mind of the human being. We can actually define concretely. So all of these we're talking about are abstract in essence. But again, they are real things because they pertain to
the mind and what's the mind has reached that point with experience depression. I think we can go further and say that there is a possibility that depression may be linked to
own specific mode of thought. You can say that as much as you can say depression comes from another planet and it originated on planet so and so, or came from heaven, or came from hell. I mean, the idea is an abstract notion. So whatever label you want to put on it.
And you know, aside from you know about depression that completely incapacitates a human being, like a mage, I think that's classic depression and psychological. And then there are people that go into depressions because of situations, which can, of course, you know, have the side effect of making them bedridden at the point. But then people live with varying degrees of depression where they're just kind of in a funk, mm-hmm. and, you know, they function in life, but it's not.
Well, you know, that's where adjectives come in, and adjectives are a grade A classification. But no matter what you put to the idea of depression, we're not really dealing with the words, we're really dealing with the state
right.
or inactive, which you define too. And then we label it by the way a person feels. What it really amounts to, its origin comes out of a thoughtful semblance of feeling, a thoughtful definition of what a feeling is, because we have to depend on it in that way, because it's not really an intellectual pursuit. I guess you could have intellectual depression, where someone just doesn't want to learn anything anymore. But and,
yeah.
you know, you can put any adjective you want to it. But in essence, these are great abstract concepts that we have given notoriety to in terms of the human condition. So having said that, if we get into this idea that a chakra is depressed, then that means a chakra is not so much inactive as it is laden with burdened.
And energy. There will be, I'm not saying, when we began the show, I know that we talked about, I made a statement about activity within the chakra system. So if the chakra is depressed, we're not saying it's totally inactive, but there's going to be a depression of activity because of the burden that's
right
on it.
But then we fall into the category, how can a chakra be depressed? Does a chakra think? If we're saying that depression is linked with thought, and we say that the chakra is depressed, then therefore does the chakra think? Now, this brings up another, it's an elusive topic because we can't really define this. We're really dealing in abstraction here. But if a chakra thinks, it only thinks because of the center of energy that is geared by the brain. And here specifically by the pineal gland, which is a medical fact. That energy there. So in that concept, we have to start to associate the idea of a thinking chakra to a thinking soul.
And
in other words,
Neil,
that a soul
Neil,
has a mind.
Neil, sorry. Callers will be getting to you shortly. So stay on or stay in the queue because
yeah.
we'll get to callers in a few minutes.
So when we're thinking of that, we're considering that a chakra
Go on.
Have a thought. We're dropping callers.
I don't know if we're having a problem with the phone line. We've dropped three people, so it could be, you know, that happens. But anyway, go on, because this is
that's
important
the way the chakra
discussion.
Bounces.
Yeah.
The idea that that a chakra thinks that there's a thinking content in a chakra, whether it's the first chakra, we're dealing with the baseline of energy, the security, the root system, all the way up to the seventh chakra, which is spirituality. Each chakra is defined by an abstract definition. It governs certain areas of the body. So there is a certain biological location, if you will, of a chakra pertinent to its number. But the idea that
right, and on a physical level, it affects those, or physiological level, it affects the adjacent organs if there's a problem in the chakra.
But that's like
something good happening. I mean, it can be a positive thing. If
it can be a positive
thing. Right.
But this is also alluding to the idea that pollution affects our environment. But does pollution think that does pollution is made? It's a man-made thing. There may be viable reasons for other forms of pollution that come from the atmosphere itself, within itself, but we're talking about a man-made energy. Our thoughts are human-made. Our the way we think and feel is something that pertains to our will, another abstract notion, and that our will is a viable product of our thinking. It produces and thereby is produced by our thinking. So our will still comes from this inner source of our, if you will, soul, our spirit. And these are the things that start to accommodate the idea of depression, which is a state of being at any given moment. So that gets into our energy field, which is defined as a major chakra theme. And that becomes part of the, if you will, atmosphere of that chakra.
We're talking about will.
Yeah, will. So, you know, that's just briefly a note on things that we drop all callers.
Yes. Well, you know.
It
happens. We could be having problems with the phone, or people could be just, you know, moving on to people that are having a more immediate response in terms of the calls.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of our callers, if they don't get their immediate questions asked, they don't really care about the content. But this is for archives and for those listeners who don't really call with questions, but they call for information.
Right, and people that listen, you know, and don't call at all. We have many, many people in our audience that do that. And the reason we wanted to start today with the topic is because what happens, I think, if we start taking callers at the beginning of the show is that we fill up, and so we don't get to the topic. And that's an important part of what we're doing here, is getting more of the spiritual matters. Helping people, of course, is very important as well, but we have to keep a balance. But anyway, so we can go on, Neil.
When we're also talking about chakras, we're talking about wheels. Because one of their definitions is wheel.
Right, and they're represented as wheels in the body.
Yes. And
of various colors.
And the wheel, you know, the invention of the wheel itself, the physical wheel, was a major step in industry, human knowledge. The invention of the wheel was one of the most dramatic moments in human history. And then that led to
Were you there in a past life?
Everything that I was sort of in the hub of things. but the idea of the wheel itself, which is synonymous to the idea of our mechanical universe, and what we have produced from the concept of the wheel. When the wheel was first invented, I mean, this was a great concept, that there would be a circular form that would revolutionize distance and travel and everything else that is important to our way of living. So that concept, that as the wheel revolves, there is movement. And as the wheel revolves and there is movement, there is less weight to be involved in the human effort of moving from one space to another. So then thereby we have the, you know, it went from the horse to the car. The horse doesn't have a wheel. The car does. So this concept of the wheel, we couldn't have invented a car with four hoofs. We had to have the concept of a wheel. So the concept of a wheel is also synonymous with the concept of the body. The chakra system is an accelerated mode of energy that the physical body would otherwise not be able to do. So what does the chakra do? It spins so fast. What the chakras do is they activate us to a higher realm of thinking, a higher realm of being, and actually, if you want to consider the energy fields, a higher realm into the astral field.
Right, because they are not purely physical, the chakra system.
But yet they carry that circular motion. So the chakra to the soul would be like the wheel to the car, or in other words, what would otherwise maybe defy the normal rate of speed. So it all leads to that kind of advancement. And if we get into the chakra system, what we're really getting into is the acceleration of the soul. And then since the soul, abstract thought, since the soul is in the body, the soul is within the body, and the spirit is within the soul. So we have these layers of energy. So since the soul is connected and within the body, what can we do to produce that soul energy, chakras, so that the manifestation of it can occur in the body? And now we have this idea that thought becomes action. These two concepts of thinking, they're abstract. Thought is not action. Thought becomes action. In other words, thought manifests into a different form and becomes concrete. In the same token, our chakra systems, which are abstract, can become concrete within our body. And this is what brings up self-healing, self-actualization, all of these concepts that we have, even from Aristotle's time, in terms of the will and the idea of what is man, or what is woman, what is a human being's purpose on the planet, and how does this activate into a form of philosophy with or without the idea of God, just the idea of us as a living form of energy. Now we get into the concept of how far we have come from an abstraction of thought, conceptualizing the wheel, to our present stage of civilization, where we have numerous inventions, and now we're in virtual reality. Now what has come into place is that we don't really need concrete things in order to conceptualize and actualize our existence. It doesn't have to be there. There can be virtual reality to the extent that we've added another adjective. It's virtual reality, meaning that the reality isn't really conceptualized as a concrete thing. So now we have it based upon formulas, equations, energy sources that have moved us into an area. I mean, when I was a kid, to hold a cordless thing to my ear and think that I could talk to other people through it was make-believe.
Cellular phones, a phone in a car. I mean, it was like ultimate luxury to be able to do that.
Take a cordless phone back years ago, when I was 20, and people go, where's the cord? Now, where's the telephone? What are you talking about? Well, because of the system of satellites and the system of flight, you know, the Wright brothers, which wasn't the first form of flight. We could go back into mythology times to find out where flight originated. But we get the idea that first Kitty Hawk experiment was taking place to where we went to expand to the gravity of the Earth of the field and move into outer space and to plant satellites there, which will receive signals. This is, and a lot of those satellites are circular in structure. So this whole concept has come from the original concept of idea. And that idea does not originate from a concrete place. it originates from the mind, which we have to experiment with in terms of our discussion of, again, depression and chakra system. How really real that virtual reality is in terms of human emotions.
Right. And so, you know, let's take our caller, and then want to get into some topics regarding the chakra system and depression specifically, and how people can identify depression within the chakra systems and help themselves to correct problems they might be experiencing. Okay, this is Lena. Hi, Lena.
3-7-2-2-10-1.
What's going on?
I had a job interview the other day, and I wanted to see if Neil thinks I might get it. I mean, it seemed really promising.
3-2-2. What did you have the interview?
Where did I have the interview?
Mm-hmm.
It was with the management company.
No. When?
W-E-T-H-E-N. Oh, I had it on, when was it, Wednesday?
Wednesday, which would have been the 5th. 2.
Well,
this is a division between the 3 and 7.
Well, okay, so let's look at this, please, because there are so many ways at least this psychic can interpret your question in order to give you an answer. Sometimes answers are easy. You get a yes or no. The vibration is very distinct and very clear. Other times, the energy falls into the middle ground, the midway point, at which there seems to be a battle. It's not related to destiny so far as karma or fate or some directed energy that would otherwise be deemed as your purpose and what you're supposed to do, and it's all a guarantee. We get into this idea of this will, you know, the idea that there's creativity and that sometimes that has to be aided by prayer, by energy, by things like that. So when we get into, to answer your question, you're kind of in the middle ground. And what I mean by that is that there are two other people going after this job that also have a, if you will, karmic connection to the management company.
No, I haven't
so you're not the only, I'm sorry?
Yeah, there's so much competition now. It is so hard to get a job today.
Competition depends on different things, Lena. One is the worldly competition, that concept is going to have competition. The other is karmic competition.
Mm-hmm.
So you are going after this job as others are, but that also pertains to the idea of karma, to the idea that you are going after this job because others have a right to it too. And you're not the only one that is inclined to get the attitude there. Six. Let me see if I can figure something out real quickly. You were born in 62. So we're looking at you are 55 years old. You know, Lena, let's put it like this. To get this job, and I don't want to depress you, but to get this job is going to take a lot of prayer. You're not in alignment with getting it immediately. I think did you talk to them, just say yes or no, don't elaborate. Did you talk to anyone personally in terms of an interview?
Personally? No.
Yeah, I think the answer is yes. She said she just had an interview.
Well,
yeah, did you speak with someone face-to-face, one-on-one or whatever?
Oh, yeah, there were two different people
okay.
that I spoke with.
Okay,
okay. You see, I told you not to elaborate. I was going to say, were there two people? That was my next question. Okay?
All right.
Now, did you discuss, that's okay, Lena, did you discuss with them the job you had before the last job?
Yes, I did. They didn't go too much in detail on my resume. They were just real. I've had the background since 2004 in the field, so I don't.
Yeah, but my question is, did you at all discuss?
She said yes. She already
said yes. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Did so? What did you tell them about that job?
I told them that I was, you know, I did basically everything. I mean, which.
What job was that, Lena?
When I worked in construction.
And what management company is this? What are they? What is their? What are they managing?
This one here, or the one I used to work for? This is a management company. They manage a condominium, townhomes, homeowner associations. I mean, I have more than enough experience. If anything, I was overqualified. If that's why they wouldn't pick me, they probably think I was overqualified.
Well, not necessarily. It's a management company for what you said.
What I didn't hear either. What type of management?
They manage like condominiums, homeowner associations,
property.
Oh.
Which is right in your.
Have you done any work with managing property?
Yes, I have. Yes, I've always yes.
See, your job, your age does not your age and your experience is not a barrier to this job. They don't require you to be a certain age. Or they don't require you to be. You can't be too over experienced for this. You can't be too old for this. They want stability, dependability, knowledge. They want to eliminate headaches on themselves. So they want somebody in there. They're not looking for a fresh young face that's inexperienced who just came out of college. They don't care about that. All they care about is, can you handle this, and do you know how to handle it, and can you take a load off our back and manage it? That's all they care about. So in that regard, you're winning.
Yeah.
That's not what I meant by competition. There are two other people, not young and brighter than you or fresher. That's who cares about that?
You're talking about the karmic.
Well, the karmic, but also there are two other qualified people that they interviewed who have likewise experience.
Really?
So what they're looking for is a manner of attitude and the record that you are very good at what you do. Not that you've had experience, but that the experience you've had, you can handle problems and you don't really need that much extra help.
Right.
So they talk to you currently because they got a grasp of your resume and what you've been you've done. Now what they want to know is, who are you today? Are you a strong person? You know, can you handle things? Can you grasp things quickly? Do you problem solve well? Your management skills as they pertain today. In that regard, you're in high standing.
Okay.
You're in high standing. What I'm concerned about is that there are two other people equally in high standing with you. So it's a matter of going to pick. Now it's mostly an attitude of personality. Who they really feel is going to be the most dependable, durable, sustainable person. They're not going to call in sick. They're going to be there. They're committed to their work. And all they care about is that you do a good job and you're consistent. That's what they care about right now. The other parts they don't need to worry about. They've already been established. I would say, as I'm speaking to you, you probably moved from the third position to the second just from having talked here. So there's a likelihood that you could move into a discussion that they would have where they're tying you with just one other person. They've eliminated the third person. Now it's between you and somebody else. That somebody else might be a man. Now, that might be problematic to them because men usually, well, women too, but men usually in a management position like this, they're going to get antsy, they're going to want to move on, they got families, whatever. So you might take a leading position here. I can't promise, but you don't. You see, what they're thinking is from here, Lena probably doesn't want to go anywhere else. You're getting too old to start looking for a career elsewhere. So they're thinking, we're getting the best of the crop. And this is probably where she'll want to stay. We don't have to worry about her getting ambitious. And if you're not a troublemaker, you got the job. So what I'm thinking is maybe we're putting, and always include Kristen on this, whenever you call in, because we work together. So, you know, you're asking both of us. But when we're dealing with these things, Lena, what we're going to have to do is put all of our three heads together and make it happen for you. That's kind of exciting, experimental. But we're cast in the circle, if you will, of how to do that. It's a matter of energy now, not the ability.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you had your interview on the 5th. They're probably going to know by the 10th. Would be my guess.
Don't break anything.
Would be Monday. Now I'm looking it up. Monday. They should be making their decision by Monday, I would assume. And you'll know.
Yeah, I'm going to keep looking because I can't put all my eggs in one basket.
No. I mean,
no.
Definitely keep looking.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, we'll be working on it for you, Lena.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Take care, bye. So, okay. So, well, I was going to say, I mean, she dropped, but I was going to say, you know, regarding the position in terms of, you know, when you're vying for a job, many times, you know, you're going to be related to maybe the other coworkers on a tribal level. They'll have a karmic tie. But in this case, you think it's pure personality? That's
well, I mean, I think that the people who are going towards that job, there might be some karmic connections.
Right. That's
in
what
terms
I'm
of
saying.
The people going for the job. But I don't think there's any, whoever gets the job, it's that wasn't destiny.
That wasn't fate. Right, it was more of a creative process and luck.
Decision making.
Luck for the person that gets the job.
Yeah, you know, the energy can be connected to two different aspects, and many aspects, but to one.
In terms of this conversation, two aspects.
Fate and destiny, and the energy going towards that premise, or free will. And we have free will. We have the idea that we have this creative playground where we're not aligned with a concrete fixed set of circumstances, that our lives are both close plotted. We are born and die. We're born on a specific day. We have certain characteristics that are fixed. This fixed plot, this closed plot, and then in terms of literature, the open plot, the open ending, the way that we don't have to have a fixed ending to anything, and that we get into more of the idea, for those who read books or see movies, and you get to the end of the book or the end of the movie, you go, that's how it ends? I don't get it. There's no conclusion. And you have to kind of look at it more in a philosophical term. Some of our greatest pieces of literature, movies and whatnot, have open-ended plots where you just, nothing really ends concretely. This idea that it takes the interpretation of the brain and the mind to gather together the parts of the plot and the storyline and philosophize about the ending. We can theorize all we want about the human condition, but it's not always going to conclude in a close plot situation.
Right, and some people do have destiny lines in life, and others are on a path of a more creative destiny where things can be changed. I mean, everybody has those elements, but some people have very fixed destinies that are unavoidable, whereas other people might have more flexibility.
You know, it's funny. The human race, when you look at the human race, you can almost feel and sense the idea of what is destiny and what is fixed. Like Lincoln, Kennedy.
Right.
People who James Dean.
Marilyn Monroe.
There seems to be, wow, there are people that come into the earth. Their lives are so dramatic and of such high profile that the world follows them.
Right.
And
so they came in with a purpose.
And a lot of their deaths are seem to be like, God, it almost takes your breath away because of the way they died. That sometimes is aligned with destiny. Not all the time, because free will can lead to dire consequences. and a person can bring on their own deaths. I don't think Belushi or Chris Farley died because
they were
destiny.
A destiny line, right?
I think that was free will. I think that was free will. You know, but this is all up to argument, of course. Anyone could argue with us on these premises. It's abstract. Everyone's opinion can count. But from this team, where determination is that.
We're determination. Our determination.
We are determining. We are determining that the idea of some human lives are structured towards a destiny.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because like someone like Princess Diana, you think, okay, that probably was a destiny line. But if you look at the details of her decisions that she made on the night that she died, how could that have been avoided? I mean, so it's funny because there are different factors that play in. You know, I think probably she was living more of a destiny line, but there could have also been changes that were made.
There could have been changes.
I mean,
you know, when you're dealing with a teamwork like that, we mentioned Lincoln. I think it was Mary Lincoln who had a premonition that Lincoln shouldn't have gone to the Ford Theater the night that he went. She had a dream that he would die, if my memory serves me correctly, and if the facts are true. But a lot of times people have premonitions, and they warn their partner not to do a certain thing or to go on a certain plane. We get a lot of calls from clients who say, should we take this plane flight? Am I going to be okay on this motorcycle? Some things are asked of psychics. In the ancient days, there would be seers and soothsayers and things like that.
Soothsayers?
Soothsayers.
So you were getting violent here.
my tongue is not always directed towards a fixed destiny.
That would
tell the sailors and the captains whether the voyage was going to be safe or not. So this goes even back to the days before we had.
Right. And, you know, the famous people in history, Nancy Reagan consulted astrologers about things like this. I mean, there are many people that are in the public eye that contact psychics and seers. Okay, let's bring on this caller. Hello.
Hi, Neil and Kristen. This is Miranda.
I'm sorry, who?
Miranda.
Miranda?
Yes.
Okay.
M-I-R-A-N-D-A.
Miranda, hello. And Miranda, what's your birthday?
It is September 6th, 1965.
Okay. All right, and you're 36.9. What's going on?
Oh, I was just wondering what you guys see regarding a potential move to a new home. I'm looking to, buying a new home.
Buying a new home.
Mm-hmm.
And are you in California?
I am.
Mm-hmm. And are you staying in California?
Yes, I'd like to stay actually very close to where I am if possible. Yeah.
Okay. Do you own a home now? Or are you renting?
I own a home now.
Okay. All right. And she is 52. Is that correct? 52 years old?
Yes. I will be.
You will be. Yeah. You're born in September. Yeah. 51. You're born in September. Sorry. I was just looking at the year.
Well, we have to, Miranda, we have to go back to where is the two-story house in your history?
Okay. I remember, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can you talk briefly about the two-story
mm-hmm.
house?
I really loved it. It felt right in many ways. There were just some nuisances, and I was looking for a change, so we moved. And there's a part of me that regrets it, but a part of me is open to new possibilities and releasing the regret.
I'm not certain, but did you experience a divorce in your life or a separation that was pretty major?
Yeah, there was a separation. Yeah,
separation.
Okay, so to answer your question about the move to the new home, I'm on a positive pathway.
You know what's interesting, real quickly, is that she's 15 years beyond her karmic age of 36, mm-hmm. which is her inverted age and actually the sum of her karmic side. So mm-hmm. maybe that's why a move might be possible, a purchase of a home.
Yeah.
That energy field.
You see, the idea when we talk about homes, Miranda, first of all, geographically, is there an area that's calling you? In other words, is there a destiny? Is there a place that you have to live because that's part of your life, the sacred part of your life plan, and that you have to go there to fulfill your life goals and missions? Are there people there that you're ultimately going to meet? Things like that. I do believe that somewhere in your distant past, there was another loss. Someone was deceased. Has there been any deaths around your family or anything in the last 5 years?
Not in the last 5 years, no.
When?
How far back do we have to go?
I think 2007.
2007?
Okay, about 9 years ago?
Yeah,
ten.
I think so.
Okay,
ten,
well, that's your master number nine in theory. And who fell then?
That was my grandmother.
Were you close to her?
I saw her often enough during my adult years, but not terribly close, but I know she's around me.
Okay, being around you is not where I'm going right now. Did you ever stay at her home in her lifetime? Did you ever spend the night there?
Probably, yes. Well, she lived with her sons, so it wasn't like her own personal private home. And she stayed with us as well.
Question number two. In your family background, going back as far as you want, did anyone live in an rural area, like on a farm, or where there would be animals, anything like that to your knowledge?
I think so. I think my grandfather... that sounds like something that might have been. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, Miranda, I think here's point one. You're going to be moving.
Okay.
Whether you know it or not, or you already knew it or whatever you've got cooking, you're going to be moving from our psychic viewpoint. Two, you're going to be near a two-story house. If you don't move into one, it doesn't sound like you're going to move into one, but you're going to be near one. It will be a rather new project. I don't know.
You're breaking out. You're breaking out. Yeah, a little bit.
I'm sorry?
Neil was breaking out, so I couldn't hear what he was saying. I'm going to be moving near a two-story home, if not in a two-story.
Yeah. Not. Are you looking for a one-story or two-story?
I'm actually looking for a two-story. I would prefer that.
Then you made it easier on me because I've been picking up two-story.
That's why.
I've been picking up two stories, but I was getting a feeling you didn't want that. But that's what I was picking up. So.
I actually would love that. Yeah.
Well then, okay. There's a lot of new homes being put up that are still, economically speaking, not that expensive as opposed to an older home. Are you looking for an older or new home?
I would prefer a newer home, but where I am, there's a lot of older homes, too, that you need to renovate, and I'm open to the possibility, but by any miracle, if I come across a new home I could afford, I'll grab it.
you live in an expensive area, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's very costly to buy where she is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Homes are very pricey here, and there are a lot of older homes that most buyers have to wind up renovating one way or the other.
Yeah.
Okay, Miranda. So we're looking at maybe $600,000 to $800,000.
Yeah, minimum. Yeah.
Uh huh. And do you have equity in your home?
A little bit, yes.
Mm-hmm. So you would be putting down a percentage, a down payment, and you would have good credit. Is that where we're at?
Potentially, if I sell my home, I wouldn't need to get a mortgage, and I could just
wouldn't need to get a mortgage.
So your equity is outstanding.
Yeah, between selling my home, my current home, and the savings, I could potentially just buy it for cash.
Wow.
Okay. Well, then, okay, so I see that before, don't get nervous, before January, you're there. You know, whenever I say that, people go, January, can't wait that long. I said before.
By January, so there's a time frame.
You know,
it takes time
right.
to sell the home and the escrow and all that.
It takes
right.
30 to 60 days, you know. You know,
the
I mean,
sale
uh-huh.
of the home. As your house market.
Okay, now you're breaking out, Kristen. What did you just say?
Is your house on the market yet? Have you put it up for
no,
sale?
Not yet. No, not yet.
Yeah,
not yet.
And that takes time, too.
Have you been in this home for a good 8 years, or where are we? Calculate from eight years.
Just a year. And it doesn't feel right. Initially, it did, but the more I lived in it, it's not working for me.
What about prior to this home? How long were you in your former home?
You're going to laugh. It was a year, maybe a little less than a year.
Wow. So you move around a lot, and you've been in the same area the entire time?
No, there was a move to the East Coast, and then I came back to the West Coast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's been some shuffling around, and I'm really hoping to put down some roots and find my
Sure.
dream home.
You remind me of a possum. You know, you don't stay too long in one place. Were you born during the day or night? Were you born during the day or night?
I was born in the morning.
Early morning?
Like 10 a.m.
Oh, no.
Well, maybe you're a wandering bird. I don't know. You don't stay too long in any one place, but that's your privilege.
No,
you know, you have the right to move.
No, I did, though. I did. I think that two-story home you picked up earlier about, which I really loved, but had some nuisances, I was there for, I think, 5 years, so I didn't.
Has your job caused moves like the East Coast? Was it for a job? And then?
No, it was not related to my job, but I do need to stay here. I just resonate with the area.
Well, Miranda, I mean, if you're waving the banner over a 5-year residency, that's not even that long. But
no,
but you
not.
Move around a lot. You don't stay too long. Are you single right now?
No, right now I'm not.
Do you live with the person that you're with?
No, currently not.
No.
So you live
planning,
by you
planning.
Have a relationship,
but
you
not.
Live by yourself.
Yeah, actually, the next house we're planning to move in together and buy it together.
Oh,
yeah.
Is this a combined effort in terms of purchase or just you?
Yes. No, combined.
Okay. Well, we've got the karma of your partner. It's not a sole effort, you see.
Do we want his birthday real
so,
quick?
Yeah.
What's his birthday, Miranda?
October 30th.
And what year?
What year? 63.
63. 23, 5. There's the
5 years. Yeah.
And together there were 14, 5.
14, 5.
Well, you know, and that was 5 is what I think we're getting here. You might be moving into a 2-story.
I'm sorry.
But
you can't say that again.
We may be getting to the premise that you're moving into a 2-story. My only thought is, you know, if only two people in a 2-story, that's a lot of room.
I like it because we have children and it's nice to have the space.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you have 4 children together or 3 or what?
No, we have 2.
One each?
No, they're ours. They're ours together.
Oh, they're your children.
They're your children. They live
so
with
you.
So you
have children outside of marriage.
No.
Okay. Well, whatever. You both have 2 children, and they both are both of yours.
They're both of ours. Like, yes.
Are they under the age of 12?
No, they're older, but they come and go.
How old are they?
They're in their 20s.
Oh, they're.
But they're going to be living with you.
One potentially, yes.
And one not.
One in and out.
Okay, like the hamburger. So the idea is fast food. She's going to be they're going to be in and out real quick at any given time and during it.
For holiday.
I'm getting the picture. Okay, so we got a happy family here, Lucille Ball and Henry Fonda. Okay, so we got the idea that you're probably best looking right now at a two-story. There might be something in about the 700,000 range. From the house itself, you can see a mountain range. I don't know what mountain range it is yet, but you can see a mountain range. Do you have any mountain range visibility now?
I don't, no.
Do you want to move within a 30-mile radius?
I would like to move within a mile radius.
A mile radius?
Well, that's within 30 miles.
Right, but that probably wouldn't yield a
mountain
view.
Range. Where are you located?
I'm in, like, Mountain View, California.
Mountain View.
It's like South.
Oh, that's
like
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's why I
Mountain View.
Mountain View.
That's what he said.
But it doesn't have any mountain views.
Right,
no,
but it doesn't
that.
Matter.
I heard the word mountain.
Mountain. And okay. That's the town that you live in.
I heard the word mountain. That's the town you're living in. By the way, there's a Mountain View dairy, too. Are you familiar with the dairy out there?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, Mountain View Dairy. They had lousy milk. It was always watery.
Was it really in Mountain View, though? I don't think there were any dairy.
Mountain View.
Yeah, I don't think it was in Mountain View.
And maybe they had a city dairy or something. I don't know, but the milk wasn't that great. But
anyway.
You know what? The mountain I heard was Mountain View. So you want to live within Mountain View?
Yeah, or the surrounding community.
Well, listen, Lee Miranda. I said, is there a view of the mountains? So Mountain View, you're gonna be living in that area, probably two story, but don't take that to the bank yet. You may have to go to the bank anyways, but Mountain View. And I think, I don't know. I mean, September, October, you could have it between September and October. You could find this home.
Up till January.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the worst case scenario.
Are we getting any sort of any house numbers or details or any details?
No, don't worry
about
house numbers. Don't worry about house numbers. Don't worry about that right now.
People make a big deal out of that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's an impact. We've been talking about this on the past a few different shows in the past few weeks, and it does have there is significance, but you've got to find somewhere you like that's suitable to you. You can't depend just on a house number or look out for a house number. I mean, that's a silly
look
basis for
any
finding
number
a home.
Between 1 and 9. Okay, and you can throw in a 0 here and there. Don't worry about house number. What you can worry about, the house numbers can be a form of prediction. Yeah, we're comfortable with house numbers. Not in your case. In your case, it's the matter of location. There's a low, I'm getting the, I'm not saying, gee, I see a 2411 Elm Street. It's not that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dealing with a different matter here.
Okay, and Miranda, we're at the end of the show, so hopefully that helps. I mean, that was pretty extended reading for the radio, and it sounds good. So we wish you luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you both. Have a good weekend.
You too. Take care. Okay, and the number to call after the show, 562-596-7818. We are back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, and we will continue on our chakra conversation because we really just kind of gave an introduction. Well, yeah, exactly. The tip of the chakra, but the chakra doesn't have a tip, it's a wheel.
it doesn't have a tip, it's a wheel, it has a circumference, and depression's usually at the bottom of it. We haven't gotten to the bottom of things yet.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody.